Welcome to the First Pres Sermon Podcast, where each week we dive into Scripture, wrestle with truth, and discover how faith intersects our lives. God's Word meets us where we are, challenging, shaping, and calling us into something greater. No matter where you are on your journey, you belong here, and we're praying that this sermon might help you take a next step in faith towards Jesus. Hey, let's dive into today's message together.
All right, good morning, church. It was good to see you. Thank you for being here to worship the Lord. It's good to be together. And as the kind of the days get longer and the sun gets warmer, it's just such a great time. I'm so encouraged when I drive to church pretty early, you know, and the sun was already on Pikes Peak this morning, and just the beauty of the morning. I love that waking up feeling, and we're waking up together to a spirit of prayer. That's what we're doing this series. We're going to be studying in Ephesians, so I encourage you to, if you brought your Bible, open to Ephesians or turn in your phone to Ephesians, and we want to look at this word together. We're not going to study every verse, but we are going to walk through Ephesians in this series, and so we're in Ephesians 1 today, and we're going to walk right through Ephesians 1 to 6 as we go through this series. So open to Ephesians 1 at verse 15, and as we do that, let's pray. Jesus, as we've already heard from Pastor Matt, your word is awesome in power. Your word is different from other books that we pick up or things that we read or try to learn and understand. Because God, we know that you inspired the writing of your word, that your Holy Spirit inspired this letter to be written and read to the churches, and that when you inspired it, you were even thinking of us today, that we would read it right now, and that you would speak to us through it. And so we pray that you do that. Dig out our deaf ears, open our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The big question today is, will Pastor Tim resist making a Star Wars joke? Will he resist it? What do you think? What are the odds? Never tell me the odds. Yeah, right here. You got it. Oh, slow clap from Mr. Cullens. Thank you, yes. No. We are not going to talk about the Force on May the 4th. May the 4th. You get it? May the 4th. We're not going to talk about the Force because that would be heretical. So let's talk about something else. Let's talk about running out of gas. You ever run out of gas? Who's ever run out of gas? I did. In high school when I was on a date. Oh, yeah. Yeah, tricky. I put $2 of gas in my Jeep Renegade, and $2 is enough. That's enough gas. Enough to run out of gas on Lake Avenue right in front of the Broadmoor Hotel. Classy. Let's talk about phones. You ever wake up and your phone is the batteries run down, you didn't charge your phone overnight or it didn't work or something, and now you're looking at your phone, you're like, whole, it's on red. It's already on red, and I'm only getting started. I'm going to run my whole day on that little tiny red line, just running from charger to charger, trying to make it through the day. Anybody? Life is not meant to be lived like that, right? That's not how life is meant to be, and sometimes that's how life feels. Like we're running on fumes, we're running out of gas, we're living on the red line, we're just almost out. God has a different plan for us. He wants us to be connected to the great power. He wants us to be connected with the great power source. What if it could be different? We're starting a new series called In a Spirit of Prayer. In a Spirit of Prayer. I think we would all agree that God is powerful. And I think we would all probably agree, if you're a believer, if you're a follower of Christ, you'd all agree that we're supposed to be praying to unleash that power. That God calls us to pray to unleash that power in ourselves and in the world. And I bet you would also agree that you're not praying as you ought. That you're not praying as you know you should. How do we connect with that great power? How do we connect with God? If you're a believer in Christ this morning, you have the Holy Spirit of God within you, one of the three persons of the Trinity. God himself is residing inside of you, inside your life, in your soul, in your heart. You're connected to the greatest power that there is. And yet we're running on fumes. How can we live connected to that great power? We're going to be reading Ephesians, studying Ephesians. In fact, what I would encourage you to do, if you want to do this, if you're bold, take this up. I'd encourage you to read the letter of Ephesians every Sunday. It's only going to take you 20 minutes to read through. And when you read through this, as you read it, what you're going to come to understand, what you're going to come to know, is that God has a different plan for you than leading your life running on fumes on the red line, wondering when things are going to run out. God has a plan for you to live in his fullness, connected with him, united with God, in union with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, tied, plugged in to that great power. That's what we're talking about today. That great power. And what does it take? It takes prayer. But we don't pray. Pew Research came out with a poll of how many Americans pray, and they asked how many Americans pray every day. 44% of Americans said, I pray every day. 25% of Americans said, I don't ever pray. 25% said, I never or seldom pray at all. When you ask believers, it comes a little bit different. They asked evangelicals, people who self-professed followers of Christ, and asked, do you pray every day? And 72% said, I pray every day. And when you ask, do you pray at least within the course of a week, 7 days, it went all the way up to 96%. That's good. But even then, you ask people, are you praying the way you want to? Do you think you're praying in the way that you should? We say no. Why? Well, we don't have time, right? Why don't we pray as we ought? Number one, we don't have time. We're too busy. We're too busy to pray, aren't we? Number two, people say, well, I don't pray, you know, because I don't understand it. What is it really doing? I don't think I understand what's happening. Is it changing God? Is it changing the future? Is it changing me? What's happening in prayer? So we just set it aside. I don't understand it. Or maybe three, we don't pray because we don't pray as we ought because we've got some fear. We're afraid. What if God doesn't answer what I'm praying for? Or what if I pray and I just look foolish? I just look naive. It feels like my prayers are just hitting the ceiling, bouncing back down. So we set it aside. We don't pray as we should. We want to change that. We want to learn to live in a spirit of prayer. So as we jump into this series and we're going to learn prayer together, the first question is just, what is prayer? What is prayer? The best definition of prayer is very simple. Prayer is conversation with God. Conversation with God. Just like you would have a conversation in your family or with your friends, prayer is conversation with God. Do you know the best way to learn how to pray? Pray. That's honestly the best way to start praying. And when you do that, you realize prayer is just conversation with God. The best thing about prayer is not what you get out of it. The best thing about prayer is not what you get. The best thing about prayer is who you get. You get to be in the presence of God. You get time with God. And as you start to pray, as you start to make habits of prayer, you recognize that's the best part of it, is just that I'm with the Father. I feel His presence. I'm near to the Lord. Prayer is conversation with God, drawing near to Him, and He draws near to you. You know what prayer is like? It's not like, as they say, a trip to the divine vending machine. Like where I'm going to go, I'm going to put my credits in, I'm going to get what I want, you know? It's not some kind of an incantation, a secret to unlocking the power of the universe to serve your needs. It's not those things. You know what prayer is like? I think prayer, see, I've never even done this, but I think an image of prayer is like standing on the edge of a volcano. Has anybody ever been to see a live volcano? Have you ever seen it like a live with the lava flowing out of it? I've never done that. But I can imagine that you don't just see it. I mean, that's one thing. Here's this powerful thing in front of you. You can see this powerful thing. Like the lava's flowing out. You think, oh my gosh. But then you smell it, don't you? And then you see the smoke. You feel the heat. See, that's what prayer is like. It's approaching God, this mighty, awesome power. You'd be awestruck. You'd think, this is so powerful, it could destroy me. And I'm in the presence of it. That's what prayer is like. You know what prayer is like? Prayer is like standing on the top of a 14er. And now there's a bunch of people in the room that are hoping I say, raise your hand if you've been to the top of a 14. Okay, go ahead. Raise your hand if you've been to the top of a 14. Come on, raise it high. You're proud of it you got there. That's Colorado Springs right there, baby. You have? Wow, fantastic. And when you get to the top of a 14er, what does it feel like? I mean, apart from passing out and, you know, like tunneling and like, oh, Lord, there's no oxygen. But apart from all that, what does it feel? You stand on the top of a 14er and you feel the power of that mountain underneath your feet. I mean, you just feel the power of it. And you look up, there's nothing higher. You're on the top. Like, you can't look up at anything because it's just sky above. That's what prayer is like. You feel the power. You're in the presence of the power of God. I think prayer is like walking along the beach and the waves just keep coming. They just keep crashing. You look out over the ocean. You just imagine this expanse. There's more life underwater than above water. Did you know that? Like, there's... You think of the mass of the sea, the ocean, all the mystery of it, the awe of it. That's prayer. Drawing near to the power that is mightier than me. Drawing near to that great power. That's prayer. Well, Paul, he prayed for the Ephesian church. He prayed for them. Look at this. For this reason, he said, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering, and how did he give thanks? He wasn't writing thank you notes. This is, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my what?
Prayers.
He's praying for them. Now, first of all, he said for this reason, didn't he? So, for what reason? When you read something like that, you've got to read back up the page of the Bible. Like, what are you talking about? What's for what reason? Well, what Paul has done, if you read up the page, what Paul has done is he has outlined the entire story of salvation, of what God has done up till now. He says, for this reason. For what reason? Well, because of the story of salvation. How God blessed us from the heavenly realms with every blessing. How God made us. How God created the world. And he set us in it. And he wanted a relationship with us to be blessed and in communion with him. And how when we turned away from God, God did not turn away from us. But he actually sought after us, chased after us. How he loved us, chased us, chose us, and sent his son to die for us. That's what he outlines. He outlines that story. And how in Jesus Christ, because God chose us and chased us and loved us, he sent his son for us out ahead of us to die for our sins. It comes to verse 7 where he says, in him we have redemption through his blood. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. See, God has brought all of this to us, God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, how God loved us and sent his son to die for us, and how God lavished his grace on us. And he continues on about how God is now using us to bring about his purposes, how Jesus died for us and rose for us, and how when we heard this, we believed it and were sealed in that grace by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all that Jesus did for us on the cross, it became ours because God sealed it in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. And now, he says, and now, he tells a story of how God is working out all things in us and through us for the praise of his glory, that God is at work in the universe to put all things broken back together, that all things that have been torn apart are going to be restored for the praise of his glory. This great story. For this reason, I'm praying for you. Why? Because this great story of God's salvation, this story, it landed in you, in a little port city called Ephesus. For this reason, Paul says, I'm praying for you. Because when I shared the gospel with you, this great cosmic story, it came down and landed. This great universal, it became particular. It landed on your heart. It changed your life. And when you heard the gospel, you believed in it. And the Holy Spirit was sealed in you. And your life began to change. Back then, on that street, this certain avenue and certain street in that house in the back of the room Friday night at 6:30 when I presented the gospel to you, you were changed. You were made different. And the great cosmic story of God's salvation landed and became your story. You see, that still happens. Do you know that? That what God is doing in the world to bring all things back home to his glory, the great story of salvation, God who created everything out of love, a people who fell in disobedience away from him, the sending of his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross, to shed his blood for us, the raising of Jesus Christ from the dead, the opening of eternal life through his resurrection, and now the work of the Holy Spirit to work in all things through us and through all things in the world to bring about the praise of his glory. All that story, it still lands. It hovers around this corner of Weber and in Bijou. It comes in and it lands. It lands on a Sunday morning on Easter. It lands in a baptism service on a Sunday afternoon. It lands in a Bible study, a life group, a youth group. It comes in and it lands. And suddenly all you thought about Jesus, now you know and believe about Jesus. And everything in your life is different. Has it happened to you? Paul says, for this reason I pray for you. Because your faith is real. And he knows that their faith is real. It's validated, it's verified, because this faith is changing their lives. This faith is producing love, otherworldly love that doesn't exist otherwise. A love that God provides to his people who believe in him. Verse 15, here's where we pick up. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your what?
Love.
And your love for God's people, I haven't stopped praying for you. You might think, well, that's when you stop praying, right? I pray for people to meet Jesus. I prayed for you to meet Jesus. You met Jesus. Now I can stop praying for you, right? No. Paul says, I don't stop praying for you because your faith has produced love. And that faith, why am I praying for you? Because faith is going to be tested and tried. It's going to be tested and tried by every form of skepticism and cynicism, by suffering and pain in this world. Faith, your faith is going to be tested and tried. I don't stop praying for you. And love is going to be resisted and resented by a world that thrives and profits off of division and hatred and spite. You think love is easy in this world? Paul says, I don't stop praying for you because I can see your faith and I see that it's producing love. And if you are going to abound in love, and if you are going to abide and be faithful and stand up in faith in this world, you had better be connected. You had better be connected to that great power. For this reason, I don't stop praying for you. And then to verse 16, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. When should we pray? Always. When should we stop praying? Never. We need to be connected to that great power. What is this power? Power in Greek, it's the word dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite. It's not a fake power. That's a real power. And Paul says, I want you connected to this power. I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So that you may know him better. What is the great power? Knowing him is a power. Knowing God better is a great power. The best gift of prayer is not what you get, it's who you get. Verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great, say it with me, power. I pray that you would know it. For us who believe, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly. That great power, that incomparably great power. Do you have any idea how powerful God is? Do you have any idea? Can you even conceive of that great power of God? It is all surpassing. It is all encompassing. It is transcendent beyond measure. It is supersedes everything that you know in life. It is that same power, that same great power of God. It's the same power that God used to bring everything into being in the first place, that God created everything out of nothing by a breath of his mouth, by his word, that same power. The same power that God used to speak to a disobedient people who were enslaved in Egypt and to cause a victory over Pharaoh and the Egyptian armies and to split the sea and lead his people through the water out of slavery and into freedom through the waters. That same power, the same power that inspired David to say, I'll go fight Goliath. How big is he? That's pretty big. But I'm going after it. I'm picking up a stone and I'm walking right out onto the battlefield. That same power of God was at work in him. That same great power. That same great power that overshadowed the Virgin Mary and was born an infant in Bethlehem and grew up and taught and lived and healed and sowed seeds of the kingdom of God everywhere that he went. That same power that with resolve walked straight to the cross to give his body and his blood away as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That same power that when his body was lying cold and in the tomb, dead and in the grave, that same power that reached down and raised Jesus Christ from the dead and blew open the door of the tomb and opened eternal life for all who would follow in his name. That same power. Do you have any idea how powerful God is? That same power, he says. I'm praying that you're connected with that same power, that great power. It lifted Jesus out of the grave. And it set him back where he belongs at the right hand of God the Father. That power. It's over all powers. It's higher than you could even imagine. Far above, verse 21. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Do you hear that? Far above. Jesus is far above. Every rule, every authority, every sovereignty, every power, every name that you think when someone says that name, I shudder. When someone says that name, that's the most powerful person in the world. Jesus is far above every name. Every name. He's far, far above. Do you have any idea how powerful God is? A long time ago, a church father named John Chrysostom was preaching on this very passage, and he put it this way. He said, he says not merely above, but far above. For God is higher than the powers on high. So he led him up there, the very one who shared our lowly humanity. He led him from the lowest depth to the highest sovereignty, beyond which there is no higher honor above every sovereignty, he says, not merely compared with this or that. What gnats are compared to humans, so is the whole creation compared with God. That great power. Do you have any idea how powerful God is? And Jesus is lifted up over every power that we allow to threaten us or cause us worry, cause us anxiety. He's so much higher than that. God is over all of that. And watch this now. And us with him. Look at the last two verses. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him. Who is it that we're talking about? And appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. The church, for the church. That's you. For the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Jesus, are you following me? Jesus is above all powers. He is lifted up. He is far above. He's not just above. He's far above all powers, all authorities, all rules, all sovereignties, all dominions, all names, all the things that come at you and you, cause you to worry, cause you anxiety, cause you to suffer, cause you to dip into deep stress, to stay up at night and wrestle with it and to stay and say, this is going to get me. It's going to take me. It's going to, I'm so worried about this, Lord. I'm so worried about this. This is so strong, Lord. This is so such a mess, Lord. I can't overcome this, Lord. All these little powers. Jesus is so far above. Are you with me? And I want you to follow. You're with him. You are the church. You are his body. And if he is lifted up and exalted so far above all powers, all sovereignties, all names, all authorities, if Jesus is lifted up and you are his body, look, I'm not a medical doctor, but I think the body's connected to the head. Is that right? Can anybody verify that for me? We are lifted up with him, seated in the high places, in that great power. He is the head who is above all things, and you are the body. Are you living like that? Are you living connected to that great power? Jesus knew what he was doing when he promised that you would be. He said in John 14 to his disciples, he said, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. Imagine that for a second. Jesus said, you see everything I did? Whoever believes in me will do the works that I'm doing. And they will do even greater things than these. Because I'm going to the Father. Because I'm going to the Father. And you can ask, you can seek, you can pray. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. I'm not going to intellectualize or explain that away or apologize for what Jesus said in any way, shape, or form. That's what Jesus said to you, his body. No, Jesus is not a divine butler. Jesus doesn't come when we ring our bell and do whatever we want. That's not what he's saying. And yet these are his words to you, his children, his people. You are connected to that great power. Are you living like that? As we go through this series in the spirit of prayer, as Pastor Matt was talking about, the heart of your pastors, my heart and the rest of the pastors, is that we don't just talk about prayer during this series, but that we experience prayer, we live into prayer, we change our rhythms of prayer, we learn how to live connected with that great power. And so I encourage you to grab this prayer card, 40 days of prayer, scan into it. You can get a daily text every day around 10 o'clock in the morning to remind you to go to the Lord in prayer. I encourage you, come with Pastor Matt on a prayer walk through downtown Colorado Springs. Every week we'll have prayer walks on Wednesdays. We're going to do fasts on Fridays, fasting on Fridays. The first one is we're going to fast from social media. Woo, Lord. You know what we're going to do? We're going to say on Friday, every time I think about I'm thirsty for social media, I'm thirsty to be on this account, that account, I'm going to take that thirst, and I'm not going to go that direction with it. I'm going to turn it to the Lord. I'm going to turn that thirst. That's what fasting is. Whether it's with food or with screens or with something else, you say, whenever I feel that impulse, I'm going to take that impulse, that thirst, and I'm going to turn it to the Lord. I'm going to connect with him in a new way. And by the end of this series, on June the 8th, which is Pentecost Sunday, what we're going to do, church, is we're going to walk out of this church after this service, and the rest of the congregations, the rest of the services will join us, and at about 12:30, we're going to surround this building, and we're going to hold hands, and we're going to pray around this block right here. Pray for the power of God to come down on our church and in this city. Amen. That's Pastor Ellen's vision. We're going to live that out. We're going to be there. So don't just think about prayer. Take these 40 days and walk. Practice prayer. And so I know we're coming to the end, but I want to take a minute to give you a practice of prayer. I want to do a little exercise before we turn to the table. You see, Jesus said when you go to pray, go into your private space. In Matthew 6, he said, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who's unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He's saying, sometimes you need that place. You need a place like a closet of prayer to meet with Jesus. Sometimes you need a place like that room that you go, or that prayer chair that you sort of set aside, or some people have a rock that they hike up to, they sit there, they commune with the Lord. Sometimes you need that physical space, but you know what else you need? Even more than that, is you need that prayer closet inside your own heart. You need that place where you meet with God inside yourself, inside your soul. If you believe in Jesus today, God has poured out his Holy Spirit inside of you. He communes with you. So I want to give us a moment. And when I say a moment, I mean 60 seconds of silence to develop, to cultivate the inner sanctum, the inside holy place where you commune with Jesus and meet with him as we begin to walk together in a spirit of prayer. So I'm going to give you this time. I'm talking 60 seconds. I'm putting it on my watch, folks. We're going to do 60 seconds. And we're going to invite the Lord to come in and build this place where we meet together. Jesus, meet us in this time of silence. Come into us in a way that we can know and recognize you and commune with you. Lord, build this inner room in our hearts, we pray. Meet us in prayer. that great power, that incomparably great power, if that great power is within you, what do you have to fear of anything that's around you? Meet with Jesus in prayer. Hallelujah.
Hearing God's word is just the beginning. What connected with you? What challenged you today? Maybe it's surrendering something, stepping into community, or simply trusting Him more deeply. Whatever it is, don't leave it for later. Act on it today. We're praying that this message moves you closer to Jesus, and we'd love to walk with you in that journey and answer any questions you've got. Connect with us by visiting firstprescos.org. Hey, if today's message encouraged you, take a moment and subscribe so you never miss an episode, and share it with someone who needs to hear it. Check in next week and we'll continue to grow in our faith together. See you next time.